Well, where do we begin, Carl? Where do we begin?
I don't know, mate. Do we start with the scoring system? I think it'll be quick this week.
This is where it comes into its own, though, doesn't it? The Hotspurs podcast scoring system.
It was invented for.
Hugo Lloris, what are you giving him?
I'm giving him a zero.
Yeah? Why is that?
Just didn't think he had a great game. Yeah, I suppose he had a couple of half-decent saves for us. It was probably a bit unfortunate with their second goal, but just one of those games, Steve, you know, where I don't think anybody stood out in.
Yeah, I don't think, he definitely doesn't get a one because he three goals go in. I don't really blame him for too much. He didn't make any clangers, so I'm going to give him a half. He was okay, and yeah, that's the point. Carl Walker.
Zero.
Cool, that was quick. That was easy.
Really disappointed in Walker again, Steve. Easy. I don't know. Again, it's hard to say, you know, when you're watching it on TV, but I don't know. Has someone maybe told the guy not to be pushing forward whenever Townsend's there? This is all the chat that I'm sort of hearing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy's got so much pace about him and what he maybe should be doing. I'm just not seeing him driving on past defenders. Like, I know now there was a rumour that he had sort of reported that he was ill,
yeah.
You know, before the match, but obviously they took a risk with him. The nutritious and things was warming up quite early, but you know they stuck with him there. It was maybe a bit of a risk, and maybe he shouldn't have been on the pitch. And maybe it is quite hard on him, but just still so disappointing, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's ill, they shouldn't be playing. But you know, this isn't based just on today. I suppose we're giving him a zero because we've had enough, haven't we? Of the whole. What did you say? He's not driving on enough. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. He's out of position. He's always chasing back. You know, he recovers quite a lot for his mistakes, but he just gives the ball away the whole time. There are occasions where he throws the ball 50 yards back. I mean, we're in line with I sit in line with the penalty box, and we've got the throw in. And he's throwing it all the way back to Vertonghen. Yeah. You think, my goodness, you know, we don't have to be Rory Delap in these situations, but at least let's, you know, throw it down into the corner and see if we can get something, rather than throwing it all the way back. And he didn't just do it with throw-ins; he did it with passes as well. I don't know.
I just don't get it with him, Steve. Obviously, we don't like slagging off any of our players, you know, in the squad, but. It isn't just to do with Sunday's game. You know, there has been, you know, quite a few games, and probably even going back into last season, if you recall, you know, the Liverpool game at Anfield, you know, he done that back pass, you know, that led to Liverpool's equaliser and cost us the game, really. So, you know, he's prone to it. It's in him at the minute. But the guy, I would just like to see him, you know, Sunday, I don't think the guy crossed the halfway line. You know, and that was a game. You know, we'll get on to the game after we do the quick scores here. You know, that we needed width.
I mean, you say he didn't cross that halfway line, but then again, he wasn't exactly like a solid right back either, was he? He was neither. You know, we'll dip into conversations that I've tried to have with Spurs fans, you know, the previous couple of days. You know, just getting a bit bored with it, not really been on Facebook, not really been on Twitter that much, apart from, you know, throwing in a few jokes, one-liners here or there. Thought I'd start an interesting conversation about, you know, it's a different question. I didn't want to ask the same question. You know, what's your best lineup? What's your best ever lineup? Blah, blah, blah. So I just said, what's our best lineup if everybody's fitting on their game? And, you know, one of the debates obviously was the fullbacks, because that's hard. You know, the two fullbacks positions is a difficult situation at the moment because, you know, full potential, you know, Walker has had some good games, but I've seen Cabal play some fantastic positions in right back. I'm being told by some people that I must not know what I'm talking about. I know zero about football. Whereas I've seen with my own eyes, Cabal play right back. Now, he couldn't have played, obviously, on Sunday. because he's injured. But I have seen him, and I spoke to Dan Jones, and I said, am I imagining it? Did I imagine seeing Cabal play, you know, half a dozen, 10 games, a couple of seasons ago at right back? And he was absolutely outstanding. You know, and the game that I referenced over and over again was the Man City game, because that's the game that surely everybody remembers. They, you know, they won't remember the few games before that or after that or whatever. So I kept referencing that, and I kept getting comebacks saying, what, just from one game, just from that? And I'm not going to sit here and type out all the games that he played. All I'm going to tell you is that I've seen him play right back. He was very solid. He was up and down the line, and he was better than Kyle Walker. You know, you can choose Kyle Walker if you want, but I'm going, I think Cabal, in a full strength side, would be a good right back, if not a fantastic right back. And plus, if you're a left winger and someone says, oh, you're up against Cabal today, you're not exactly going to rub your hands together and go, oh, Yunis Cabal, that'll be a piece of cake, won't it?
Yeah, look, exactly, you know, Cabal to me, and you're right, he has played quite a few games there and was very, very strong for us as well. Just unfortunately, the guy just seems to be so injury prone. You know, again, he went off injured in the European game during the week. But I think it's something, you know, and we'll just put Kyle Naughton into it there. Obviously, I'm giving him a zero as well for this game. And, you know, I think our full-back positions is something that we definitely need to look at. And we said it before the start of the season. And, you know, in hindsight, you know, maybe with Benny going, you know, going off to QPR, maybe it might have still been handy to have the likes of Danny there. But certainly, you know, if Kyle Walker's injured and the likes of Danny Rose is injured, you know, what are our options, Steve? You know, it's either for Toggan and Cabal.
That's what I mean. The options are, you know, not great. You know, in an ideal world, it's Cabal and Vertonghen, two centre-backs, two big, strong centre-backs. You know, very, very good players with a really good right back and a really good left back. You know, Benny, possibly, someone was saying. You know, but we got rid of Benny, whether attitude or not. I mean, whether he could have been managed better, I don't know. But we're playing Naughton, and I feel a little bit sorry for Naughton, because Naughton is a right back. He's been asked to play left back. His career is being ruined because everybody's looking at him now going, what a rubbish player. And not, if I was Kyle Naughton, you know, what's he? It's funny because he could kind of say, look, listen, please don't play me left back anymore. You're making me look terrible. You know, I don't think he's that sort of bloke. And I think, you know, I'm a left winger. You know, but if they said, do you want to play right back for Spurs, I'd go, yeah, please. You know, so he, of course he wants to be on the pitch, but you know, he's not. He's had a couple of decent games there, but what's he played? Maybe 12, 15 games in the last year or so. And, you know, it's shaky as hell. And I feel sorry for him. Of course he gets a zero because he's not a left back. And by the way, there was a couple of times in that first half where Dawson was hitting those big, long, raking balls, trying to pick out Naughton, who's then got to control it with his right foot on the left wing. I mean, it was just crazy. And, you know, we move on to Dawson. He gets a zero as well, not just for the goals that, you know, we went flying past him, the players. But also, I mean, we talk about attitude and passion and what have you, and here is Mr. Passion, Mr. Attitude, Mr. Tottenham, and he's standing there, pinging these balls out to Kyle Naughton, and then just, like, smiling, just, oh, sorry, buddy, sorry, I didn't, you know. He should be the one grabbing people by the throat and saying, listen, this is West Ham. Look at those fans over there singing those songs. You know, we need to up our game here, lads. And we didn't get it from him either. So, unfortunately, Dawes gets a zero for me as well.
Yeah, great. And I was very disappointed in the first goal, you know, from the corner as well. With the header, it was almost like a repeat of the John Terry situation where, you know, Dawson lost the man that he was marking. And, you know, okay, the header went down, it actually hit Nolan and came back out very fortunate for him.
I think it was Vertonghen marking that guy.
So I thought Dawson was part of it as well, but Steve...
Well, they're all part of it, yeah.
Yeah, but Dawson just seemed to be absolutely lost. And again, as we chat about him, look how big and strong, physical. He should be the man in there, you know, clearing those balls for us. But, you know, again, I didn't want to come on tonight and be slagging guys off, you know, just because we've had one bad result.
Well, we're just being factual about the game. That's all we're doing. Yeah. And we're not saying, you know, out forever and that's it. We're doom and gloom and Dawson's out the team. No way. You know, all we're saying is, you know, we're doing, being factual about this. And you know, these are the things. We can't sit here and say, oh, but he's been great here, great there, let's not talk about it, because we're a weekly podcast, and the point of it is that we talk about each show. You know, and you're right, you know, we could be positive all the way through this, but, you know, mate, it's a phone call. As we go back right to the very first time we did this podcast, you know, we're not professionals in any way whatsoever, even though we do come across as, obviously, professionals in this what we do, no, we're just having a phone conversation, aren't we, using the media of Skype. Amazing.
True. And what about Vertonghen? I was so disappointed, you know. Every week we just go, look, it's a point, you know, the guy who's his class. He just had one of those games, and, you know,
Chelsea last year.
Yeah, and to give that guy, Ravel Morrison, you know, credit, it's a fantastic goal. But when was the last time you seen Vertonghen, you know, turned in and set out like that? I think the guy beat him two or three times before he had a great finish. But, you know, unfortunately, we have to give the big man a zero this week. But just to finish off in defence, Steve, I would love to see this guy, Churichis, hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. I would like to see this guy given a game. I really like the look of him against Ante. He seems to have a bit of class about him as well. So, Maybe this is the time for AVB to give this guy a bit of a run on the team now.
Well, I mean, you know, we don't know what he's fully about, but you know what, the fact is that the left back situation, like the right back situation, is not ideal. And if Danny Rowe, if we got rid of Asu Okotu, then Danny, for whatever reason, Danny Rowe's got injured, which is inevitable. The only cover is Vertonghen. Now, you don't want to take Vertonghen out of central defence because he's so fantastic there. However, we have got a Romanian captain, international, sitting on the sidelines. You know, what's he going to do? Come in and be like Ramon Vega? You know, well, if he is, then that's awful. But why on earth have we bought this guy if he's not, you know, a brilliant centre-back? You know, ready to come in and cover when we get a few injuries. Vertonghen out on the left, because Norton doesn't play left back. You know, if you want, say to Carl Walker, listen, you've had half a dozen lousy games, you know, you've been all right, but, you know, the fans aren't happy. You know, if you're not playing well in this game, we've got Carl Norton waiting as cover for right back. Get Carl Norton back in there on the right back position. Tell him, you know, here's your chance, because Walker's mucking it up at the moment, and see how they get on. But you can't keep playing Norton at left back, you know, when you've got Romanian international captains sitting on the bench.
Exactly. I would, hopefully Danny Rose, you know, we've got 2 week break now, hopefully Danny Rose will be back in, you know, when they're, if not, I would like to see, if that happens, Vertonghen left back, Churichis in there with Dawson, and as you say, Walker or maybe Kyle Naughton, you know, putting a bit of pressure on him. Cabrera might be back as well. But look, we'll move on to the midfield, Steve. Who was on the Townsend? Look, I'm going to give Townsend a half. So to me, he was the only guy that showed anything. You know, the first half, I thought he looked sharp, he looked strong, but unfortunately he kept, you know, coming inside. But I don't know whether that's a bit of pressure on the guy about shooting and things, because everybody's been talking about it, but I thought out of everybody on the day, the guy really tried his heart out for us and looked good, so he's getting a half from me.
Well, what's funny is that last season, Lennon on the right, Bale on the left, but they switched over, didn't they? They switched over, you know, every sort of 25 minutes. But Townsend seems to be playing just on the right. You know, and it's down again to sort of management saying, right, you know, you've played 25 minutes on the right, we've not had much, come on the left, come and get round the back. He's just not done it at all, and that can't be Townsend's decision, because, you know, that's down to the management to tell him where to play. I'm giving him a one, once again. What frustrates me, and I'm going to say it again, and I might say it all the way up until March, that the guy is taking shots. He is taking people on, he's attacking the fullback, and he's doing all those things that we wanted Lennon to do. Now, I think, in general, Lennon is a better player. But when Lennon's passing it back all the time, and laying it off all the time, and we know that Lennon's final ball is rubbish anyway, so, you know, Townsend is having a dig. He's not actually shooting enough. And everybody listening going, what are you talking about? He's having loads of shots. The positions he gets in are fantastic positions. And I just feel that he's under pressure now to pass it to, by the way, a non-existent forward line, because Defoe's been, and it's not Defoe's fault, but he's marked completely out of the game. You know, if he's cutting in and he's got two strikers there to choose from, no problem. But he hasn't. He hasn't got those options. And he's got people shouting at him, going, oh, lay it off. Dude, you know, I can't see who can lay it off to. And he's in great positions to have a shot. Keep going, mate. Have a shot. Establish yourself in the team. Because the trouble is, while he's laying it off, he's not establishing himself in the team. And as soon as Lennon comes back, he's taking his position. And I'll tell you what, the criticism for Townsend is so unfair for a guy that is trying to get himself in the team. And like you say, he was our best player on Sunday.
Yeah. Definitely. What about Poligno and Dembele? We'll rush through these last few ones and then we'll chat about the game.
They both look completely knackered, that's for a start.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to say Sandro should have played. Again, you know, with the poem that's coming up. You know, it's easy to say he should play, blah, blah, blah. You know, in general, the team, when you look at the team, you go, oh, you know, that's a decent team. That should beat West Ham, no problem. But Dembele played the whole game against Chelsea, the whole game in Russia, is that right? You know, at least he played most of the game in Russia, I think. And, you know, he's playing there. And Dembele is playing as our defensive midfielder. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's crazy. You pick your back four, and then in my opinion, the best defensive midfielder in the country is Sandro. I absolutely love him. He's there. He's ready to go, isn't he? Pick him. First name on my team sheet, and Martin Heiser's, talking to him in the pub the other day. And then other players. Some players are going to have to miss out for a little while. Whether it's Dembele, whether it's Paulinho, whether it's Eriksen, whoever it is, he's going to have to sit on the bench and he's going to have to be told, listen, you're on the bench today, but don't worry about it, because 60 minutes, 65 minutes, when players start to tire, you'll be coming on. And that's how you manage, isn't it? And then next game, we're at Villa next week, you'll be in for that one. A little bit of rotation, but it's same side, same team. And, you know, this team weren't very good against Chelsea, were they? So surely a couple of players coming in would have been good. I mean, what I'd have done, just very quickly, is, and this would have been really weird, because when we went 1-0 down, I'd have brought Sandro on, and I'd have said, right, Sandro come on, maybe for Dembele, and then push Paulinho and Eriksen right up there. Because virtually the whole game, including the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever it was, we still weren't getting players in the box. And that's because you've got Dembele sitting and Paulinho and Eriksen probably going, well, wait there, Dembele's in front of the back four. He's not a defensive midfielder, so we've got to get back and help him.
Yeah, look, I agree with what you're saying. You know what, the two guys, it was just so disappointing. And look, we're going to give West Ham a bit of credit here as well. You know, they came with a 4-6-0, and fair play to Alderdice. He got, you know, his tactics right. And what he done, he just condensed the game. And what I done after 10 minutes, many times that I talk about this last year, Steve, when you're watching it, especially on TV, that White Hart Lane looks so small, it looks so compact, and there was no space. And I just, after 10 minutes, I went, do you know what? We have got no way through this team. We've got no way around the team. And I think that's where the frustrations lay in the result. It wasn't that we got beat, you know, the way West Ham beat us, you know, 3-0 scoreline. It was actually the manner of the defeat that we seemed to lack width, and we lacked any ideas, and, you know, with nobody else to come on up front with Defoe or with Soldado. You know, they were just lacking so much. And I just knew after 10, 15 minutes, this is one of these games. I just went, this is Wolves all over from a couple of years ago. This is Norwich. This is Wigan. that I just knew, I knew something was going to happen on him. But, you know, we've just got to hope that there can be a bit of rotation. As you say, Sandro could have come into that team. Lamella, you know, okay, Sigurdsson was there, didn't get any ball, didn't get into the box, didn't create any chances. You know, what's going on with Lamella, Steve? We spent $30 million on this guy. We're now 7 or 8 games into the season. You know, surely this guy needs to start getting starts to show us what he's all about.
I mean, that's what people are saying. I haven't seen a worse debut, you know, worse few games for a new guy for many a moon. You know, he really has been poor, hasn't he? I mean, his first touch has been poor. He looks as if he's got no confidence. I think the first couple of games he was, you know, laying it off okay and doing a couple of flicks, but he hasn't done, you know, any sort of little tricks or anything yet, has he? Whereas the fella up at Man United, that young kid, you know, apparently he was terrible in the first half, and in the second half he knocks in a couple of goals. You know, you just kind of need the ball to fall at his feet, maybe, you know, 18 yards out, so he can smash one in and get himself going. But you know, maybe he's you know, nervous and what have you, and that's fair play. You know, he lives, you know, he's from Argentina. He played in Italy and Roma, but now he's playing against, you know, West Ham with, you know, stuff going on and a compact stadium, and you know, it's a little bit daunting for him maybe. And I'm not saying it, you know, he's a flop again. I'm not saying that, but. It's a hard one, isn't it? You know, do you pick him? Do you not pick him? When he came on, it was like, yeah, come on then, show us what you got. And what he had was nothing.
Yeah,
and that's just a fact. And you know, that's not harsh. That's a fact.
Yeah, and you're right by saying that. But you know, look, in my eyes now, we've spent £30 million on him. He's a record signing. Now, to me, if you spend that kind of money and make him your record signing, he has to play. And to me, from now on, from our next game against Villa, this guy has to be in the starting lineup. And whether that means for the next 10 games, he has to play.
Sigurdsson's fault for scoring so many goals and being nominated for Player of the Month. It's his fault.
True.
If Sigurdsson hadn't scored those goals, we'd have been seeing Lamella a lot more.
Yeah. But surely this guy, Lamella, can play, you know, out on the right, or he can play in where Eriksson plays. You know, what I've watched off him on YouTube, you know, with Roman things, that's what he was doing. He was on the right, cutting in, scoring with his left foot. He was on the left, cutting in.
That's the thing, you know, though. You're naming three players there who have been excellent for us so far. Townsend, Sigurdsson and Eriksson. Again, going back to this message I put on Facebook, you know, I'm saying that, you know, if you're going to pick Sandro, then my attacking midfielder, behind the front two, because I went 4-4-2, would be Dembele, and everyone's going, oh, you've got to pick Eriksson. What's going on with, you know, how can you leave out Eriksson? It's like, you know, so we have got so many players, it's very difficult where to fit these guys in. And you can, you know, if you'd have left out, played Lamella and left out Sigurdsson, and we'd have got that result, it'd be like, how can you leave out Sigurdsson after scoring the goals? So it's so difficult. But you know, going back to facts again, Paulinho for me gets a zero. Dembele gets a zero.
Yeah.
Eriksson, I mean, it's.
I'm giving the guy a zero, Steve.
I mean, you know, he really, really wasn't in the game again.
Chelsea all over in the second half.
Do your little flicks and stuff, but at the end of the day, you've got to have that end product, have a few shots, that tippy tappy stuff. You know, when we were looking for the goal, I think it was, you know, in between when they scored their first and their second, there was that tippy tappy in around, and it was so frustrating, as you would say, because it's like someone put your foot through it. You know, stop trying to score the perfect goal. I don't know what the instructions you've been given. Sigurdsson gets a zero for you.
Yeah, zero.
And what does Defoe get?
Well, I'm going to give Defoe a half. Yeah. I know some people might go, what are you talking about? But the more I've thought about it since I've watched the game, do you know what? The guy deserved his chance. Soldado hasn't been firing on all cylinders for us. Defoe went out midweek, scored another great goal. And, you know, he deserved his chance. But do you know what? Whenever you're a striker, if you're not getting the service, if you're not getting the chances put to you, okay, to be fair, he had a great chance at the start of the second half, which usually Defoe would put away, and he didn't. But look, to me, the guy still put in a bit of effort. And, you know, we tried, and it's not his fault if we can't get the ball to Eriksen or Polino or get it out wide and get it across him. You know, what is the guy meant to do? But, you know, personally for me, you know, I still probably would have went with Soldado in that game. Just, you know, obviously he was rested on Thursday night out in Anzhi. Why did they take him the whole way out there? You know, if they were just going to rest him and knew that they weren't going to play him on Sunday again. So, but no, look, I'm going to give it to 4.5.
I think with this soppy trip to Russia, it's kind of like, why did they take them all out there? You know, for a game against what turned out to be, you know, rubbish, boring game against a team of no hopers, from what we were led to believe. You know, you're in a no-to-win situation. We win 2-0. And it was a lousy old game. What's the point in even we don't even talk about it on this podcast, and we're the biggest Spurs fans of all time. You know, this Europa Cup thing is a competition that we've tried our best not to get into, and we'll try our best again this season not to get into, and we qualify for it, and everyone talks about it as if, you know, it's another trophy. I'm afraid it's not. You know, let's be realistic about this. If we win it, we cannot. If we're there, imagine me and you, Cole, there, you know, and someone starts chanting, "Are you watching Arsenal?" Well, they probably are, and they're probably laughing because then they don't want to win the Europa Cup. They're not interested. It's a stupid competition, you know. And as much as it would be great to go to a, where is it this year?
I don't even know.
Don't even know, right? So it's in a city. It's in a lovely city. We have a great day. Well, go and watch the Spurs win the cup if we win it. Yay, lovely. But there's no bragging rights. There isn't. You know, it's a stupid competition. And last season they decided, right, the winner will go into the Champions League. It's not even for this season. It's for next season. So let's just get out of that competition because it's worth nothing. It's ridiculous. Let's put all our eggs into the Capital Cup now, because if we get to win Wembley and we win that Capital Cup, now that's a trophy. You know, you turn around to Arsenal and say, "We have won 2 trophies in, you know, since you have." Fantastic, happy days, great day at Wembley. You know, and I say to you, you know, that Europa Cup, me and you go. Well, we won't be able to go because we both have work the next day. Whereas you know, we're in the Capital Cup, you know, go to Wembley, fantastic, great day out against an English team who, you know, we get one over, brilliant. You know, top four is obviously priority with everything that goes on, FA Cup as well. But, you know, taking everybody out to Russia, playing Dembele the whole game, when he played against Chelsea the whole game, and then the whole game against West Ham, it drives you mad. It's like, what are they doing?
It really does, especially with the size of the squad there. But, you know, look, Steve, the round off the whole West Ham game, It was just so disappointing. You know, we lacked creativity, we lacked width, we just lacked all these ideas. And, you know, I'm going to just put it down, it was just one of those a typical Spurs game. You know, we've all got excited and we've all been sort of going, oh, look, this is it. You know, we've spent a lot of money, we've bought quality. You know, that this is our time to maybe go and challenge. You know, but I think no matter what happens, we need to be realistic. We're Spurs fans. And we're always going to have these games. But look, let's put it into perspective as well. We're 3 points off the top of the league. We're sitting 3 points ahead of Man United. You know, Aston Villa beat Arsenal at the Emirates in the first game of the season. West Brom went and beat Man United at Old Trafford. Liverpool got beat at Anfield last week by Southampton. Guys, let's just all calm down. Like, what I seen what went on Twitter and Facebook and things afterwards, it's just absolutely crazy. You know, catch ourselves on, calm ourselves down. We've got a great squad, a great team. And look, we'll bounce back. And I don't think it'll do us any harm for this that maybe happened. But I think we'll go into the Pullman all soon, fantasy football, and we'll chat about what the team might be against Villa. I would like to see a few changes, and we'll maybe round a few names off and see what we'll think.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, we're just going through these players here, how they played. They didn't play very well. There's no point saying that they did. In terms of this happening, I did text, because I didn't want to put it out there because I'm not interested in you know, getting abuse, and that's what not why I do this podcast, not why I'm on Twitter or Facebook. I'm there for the chat, and I thought if I tweet this or anything, I'd get abuse, and I'm not interested in that. And I just texted you, didn't I? I texted you, Davey, Dan. I said, all this positivity on Twitter, I'm worried. I'm worried because this is not the Spurs way. And then we do get excited and we do get positive. We go on a little run and we think, here we go. And normally we play Arsenal when we've really got our towels up and they take the wind out of our sails. They did it about 4 years ago when they beat us 3-0. They did it last year, 5-2. They did it the year before, 5-2. We did it when we were, we had our towels up, and I think Man City had just drawn or something. We were against Blackpool, and it was like, yeah, here we go, and we only got a 2-2. Yeah. And it happens all the time. And this was like, here we go, West Ham, happy days. We win this. West Brom will draw with Arsenal. We'll go top of the league, and then we got 2 weeks. Oh, I can't wait. Here we go. Book the holidays. And it doesn't happen. And it's crazy because it happens every single year. Every time we think we've got our towels up, something happens. But that's football. And it doesn't just happen to us. Look at Everton last year. They were in the FA Cup quarterfinals. That was it. They were going to go to Wembley. Easy run in. And they lost 3-0 to Wigan at home. And it was like, so it happens to them. As you say, it happened to Liverpool last week, losing 1-0. And I'll tell you what, they'll lose a few more games this year. Man United have lost. And, you know, don't forget, a couple of years ago, we went to the Emirates. We were 2-0 down at half-time. You know, Arsenal chanting, 2-0 up, happy days. And then we went and won 3-2. I mean, imagine how that must have hurt for them. You know, and don't worry about West Ham, because, of course, you know, they will now go on a little run, probably. And a very good side, by the way. But, you know, they don't get their act together, do they, very often? And they'll be wherever they are, mid-table, lower mid-table. So, you know, not too much to worry about them, I'm sure. But, you know, we'll see, mate. Right, let's have a poem.
The fool should start. It's the fool's fault to blame. The Mella needs time. We need Lamella this game. Rose is rubbish. We need Danny Rose. That's the dying verdict. That's how it goes. Walker too far forward. Why doesn't Walker not attack? Jan's great coming out. Why doesn't Jan stay back? Soldado will score plenty. Soldado's the worst player we bought. Townsend shoots far too often. Why won't Townsend have a shot? AVB's a genius. AVB hasn't got a clue. We are brilliant at 4-3-3. Why don't we play 4-4-2? We are going to win the league. We won't make top six. Eriksen is a key in the middle. Eriksen doesn't fit in the mix. Kabul still isn't fully fit. Kabul should play every game. Sandro needs a bit more time. Why isn't Sandro at the lane? West Ham are rubbish. West Ham really did well. We have the best defence in Europe. Our defence is as ropey as hell. Opinions vary and anger vented. Some right and some quite wrong. All inside White Hart Lane. A place I do so long. Come on, you Spurs.
Sums it all up, that poem, I think, Carl, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't have said it any better ourselves. Brilliant poem, Davey. And I think when everybody listens to it, they'll understand. I think we've all said it. We've all done those things. You know, and here, that's why we love football. Yeah. Everybody's got their opinion, you know. So, look, great stuff, man. Okay,
fantasy football.
Okay, a lot easier this week. Not too many scum players about. Just about 5 people got deleted, but sure. I'll soon be top of the league at this rate. Okay, in first place is Anthony and George Ferraro. Now, obviously, I brought up about the controversy last week that it was George that picks this team. And I noticed that the name had been changed, so both names are getting read out now. Then we've got Adam Barrett, Dan Jones.
It is George that picks the team, is it?
It is definitely George, but Anthony's kept his own name in there.
Anthony, take your name out. It's not you.
Definitely. Dan Jones in third. Goro Petkov, Ez George, Chrissy Rich, Robert Palmer, Nate Rippert, Alex Scott, and Jan Espen Simonsen. Love that name. What a class name. Steve, you've dropped down to 136.
It's not possible.
You're actually about to be read out in the bottom six soon. I cannot believe it. So
you look at my team. What am I doing wrong? I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
I don't know. You're like the AVB of the Fantasy Football League. AVB out there.
I've got all the top players in my side. I've got Lloris in goal, Rooney up front.
Oh, I'm the same. Well, I jumped up another couple of places. I'm now up to the massive 85th. So I'm climbing anyhow. Most points this week with 62 points is Patrick Morris. So well done, Patrick. And just at the bottom of the league is Mason Joseph, Angus Doodle, Eddie Bra, Lee Berry and Michael Parker. So great crack again this week, guys. I see a lot of people have got Sturridge and Suarez in their dream teams, as I do. So look, keep it up and it's all good fun.
Excellent. Shout-outs?
Just our usual shout-out. Look, we'll do it every week as we're promised. You know, our Saving Stacey appeal. Guys, get on to Twitter. It's on our Facebook page there. There's the petition that's still up. Still need signatures, guys. I put it out last week. I say we have 2,500 people listen every week. They only need, I think it's like 1,200 maybe signatures now. Get on there, guys, and sign that petition. And I say everybody, if you're on, get on the Saving Stacey appeal and retweet or tweet things about it, please.
Okay, mate. So, you know, the West Ham game, you know, it's difficult. We do, like I say, we do this every year, don't we? Two or three times a year, we have a result that completely knocks the stuffing out of us. You know, and unfortunately, it's normally against a massive rival, whether it be Chelsea, Arsenal, or West Ham. You know, it's one of these teams that we really, really can't stand. We have loads of people we know, I was going to say mates then, not mates, people we know who support these teams. And, you know, unfortunately these things happen. I mean, you know, the West Ham fans, they came. I've seen a couple of videos of, you know, terrible chants and what have you in the actual stadium. You know, the atmosphere was amazing. You know, the fan banter back and forth, you know, was incredible, without getting too much into, you know, the actual what people were chanting and what have you, because, you know, that's for people to make their own mind up and what have you. But here we are. We move on. So, we've got Aston Villa. Are we going to make changes? Is it going to be the same team? You know, it's difficult because who'd you leave out? Who'd you put in? And one of the things that I always insist on, Cole, is you can't just say, right, we need Holtby in the side, because you've got to take someone out. You know, I don't allow that, you know, as you know. So what do you reckon?
Yeah, well, you know, I think there needs to be a couple of changes. I think, as you said earlier, the likes of Sandro, we need to start mixing it up, because I think otherwise we maybe do become a wee bit predictable. You know, one guy we didn't mention, and we've all sort of maybe forgot about, is Capoue. Like, that guy came in as a new player and was outstanding. We were all raving about him. Unfortunately, he got injured against Arsenal. But, you know, he might be back in a couple of weeks, but I still think he'll need to settle in again. You know, I would definitely bring Alexis Sandro in. I think we've got to bring this guy, as you say, first name on our team sheet. He's now got to get, hopefully, his opportunity to get into this side. The other one that Lewis Holtby's obviously been playing very well in Europe, a bit like what Defoe has. Is he possibly maybe going to get a chance? Lamella, for me, has to start, no matter what anybody's thought about him. I think this guy has to start this game, and he needs to be given, you know, 90 minutes, and he needs to be given two or three games to show us what he's about. So that's another one. And the big one that I'm going to put out there, and if he comes back on his head's right, Steve, Adebayor. I was sitting on Sunday watching that game going, if we had Adebayor on the bench, at least he brings brings a different dimension to us.
It's height. Dimension is the prime word. Height.
Yeah.
Presence up front. We said it all last season. You're not going to have two central defenders saying, leave him, he's fine. Because Adebayor is 6'3", 6'4", right?
Exactly.
With Defoe, you go, right, well, the guy's on the right wing, he's just about to cross it in, well, I'm marking the foe, well, it ain't going to go in the air, is it? And if it does, I'm heading it clear. I'll go to the front post and dead easy to defend. However good Defoe is, right? Yeah. You know, Defoe can get round the back sometimes, but Defoe isn't winning any headers. He never has done, he never will. Adebayor doesn't win many headers, but he might, and he poses a threat in that situation.
Definitely. And look, you know, if his head's screwed on, and it's going to be difficult, you know, as you say, who do you leave out for him? But I think when you look at the bench, I think for a different kind of a player to have on it is Adebayor. And there again on Sunday, we're 1-0 down. He was the perfect man to bring on, even him and Soldado. You imagine sitting there playing West Ham and you go 1-0 up, and all of a sudden, because panic would, they're bound to get nervous, you know, their fans are getting excited. You know what it's like. Like, I remember last year when I was at Old Trafford and we were beating Man United. I was so nervous, and you could feel the tension coming from the Spurs fans and the players. And I'm sure West Ham felt like that in White Hart Lane. You imagine all of a sudden, 65 minutes gone, the board goes up and it's Soldado and Adebayor coming on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and West Ham, obviously, they're, you know, Big Sam always has the big, strong defence, big, big, strong players. And then they see, as you say, they'd be marking the foe, all of a sudden, if these guys coming on. So, look, I think he's one guy I would love to, hopefully he gets fit over the next few weeks, to be sitting on the bench, maybe get on, get part of a game against Villa. Then we've got Hull in the Capital One Cup. Give him a full match, and then we've got Hull again in the league, and get this guy back in the squad. And let's see his bout. If he doesn't do it, Steve, after 2 or 3 weeks, he can take himself off. You know, we won't mention him again. But, you know, I think at the minute we need that extra someone, just that something different for us.
A tall striker, Carl. A tall striker. Whether you like it or not, we need a tall striker. We need a big man in the box, ready to be an option.
Look at Lukaku. You know, if you had the likes of Lukaku or Dzeko from Man City,
Peter Crouch is, you know, is a laughing stock, isn't he? But when he comes on the pitch, do the central defenders go, I'll leave him, not a problem. You know, corner coming in, don't worry about Peter Crouch. No, they stick two blokes on Peter Crouch because they go, right, this guy needs to be marked. So you get Adebayor on a pitch, you know, at a corner, Defoe goes in the box, they're all laughing, going, hey, Shorty, you go and mark him, he's not a threat at the moment. You know, it just is, that's the way it is. And Defoe's fantastic at finishing, and he's fantastic at running on the ball, onto the ball and doing that. But he's not a striker on his own up front. You know, it's so easy to defend. Sandro, playing in front of this front back four, that releases the other players, because then Eriksen or whoever's playing up there, Dembele or whatever, doesn't have to get back, because they know that the beast is there and he's in charge. He dictates that back five, if you like, which releases the other players to go on. If you play too many creative midfielders in central midfield, then you've got no one coming back. And Eriksen's like, well, I better get back here because I've got a cover. I've said that already, sorry, but I've got, you know.
Yeah, no. And I know where you come from, and, you know, in defence as well, I would also like to possibly see the likes of Chiritas maybe get a chance. As you said earlier, you know, Walker will more likely start, get Walker in, but he's got someone like Naughton, you know, biting at his heels to say, here, look, I want to be the right back, Walker isn't doing the business, get me in there. So Walker then gets that bit of, you know, tension on him. And move for talking out to the left if Rose isn't back, and get Chiritas in there beside Dawson.
There's no other options, Cole.
Or Mr. Kabul if he's back.
You're absolutely right. There's no other options. Benny's gone. Rose is our left back. The only cover for left back is Vertonghen. Naughton is not cover for left back. He hasn't played a good game there. And if someone can tell me he's played a good game there, that's fine. Kabul has played good games at right back. I'm not going to look into the history. I've seen him play right back, so he can play that. I'm just doing that as an example. So that's important. You know, whether or not Lamella, you know, people are saying he's not ready or what have you.
But
like you say, £30 million. He needs games.
Obviously,
he needs games.
But,
he needs that confidence. He needs people to say, "Go on, mate, go and show us what you can do."
That's it. And, you know, if everybody looks back at the end of the transfer window, who was everybody saying the best signing was? It was Baldini. Okay? Everybody was getting Baldini number one put in the back of their Spurs shirt because, AVB brought Baldini in and he's all these signings. You know, he's the guy that knew about Lamela. He was with him at Roma. So, obviously, him and AVB, they know what quality and what this guy... You know, Daniel Levy would not have spent 30 million, you know, wouldn't have spent 30 million on this guy. Get him on the pitch, you know, enough is enough. He's had his few wee cameo roles. Get him on the pitch, go and show us what you're about. And two or three games in, this guy could be an absolute superstar for us.
Final question, where are we going to finish this year?
Third.
Ooh. Come on, you Spurs.
Man City, Chelsea. Spurs. And next year we're fighting for it. Next year we're fighting for it.
Alright. Cheers, okay, mate.
Cheers. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.